Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay.
News.
Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy. 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9 with Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt.
Here at Gay News Week, we aim to cover topics that have been in the news over the past week and how they impact on you, us and our community.
And on tonight's show, we're going to talk about the Joy AGM, which happened a couple of nights ago, social media and some homophobia on the internet and on social network platforms, and a number of things around the world and around our community. So, if you want to get in touch with us, this is how you would.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
But first, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9, held its 18th annual general meeting on Monday night. Joy members had the task of electing five new members to the board, three of which for a three-year term and two positions for a one-year term.
So the members that we had elected for our one-year term were Colin Chrysler and Luke Moon. And for the three-year term, we had Laurie Cato-Smith, David McCarthy, and Gay Newsweek's very own Jeffrey Devine.
Yay! Congratulations, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We feel very, very proud of you, especially to have one of
yes.
One of us.
Now, it was a little bit complicated this year, wasn't it? It wasn't just a people nominating to the board. It was a different turn of events.
There was a slightly different turn of events. There were five positions available and five applicants. So you would have thought in the normal course of events that they'd just be appointed. But because there were different terms of appointment, we had to go through the process of election. So we did that. And so all five were elected, as you described. And then we went on after the meeting to have a chat about who should fill the various office holder positions. But we might come back to that in a minute because that happened at the end of the meeting.
We also want to pay special mention to our retiring board members, Trish Alistair, and our retiring president, Breed.
Yes, thank you very much for your contribution to Joy over the years. It's much appreciated.
We've had also part of the meeting, and you know, it is very important. As a member of Joy 94.9, you are always welcome to attend the annual general meeting and have your say on how the station's run and have your vote, of course, on who will actually be part of the next year of steering the flagship of, you know, one of the greatest GLBTI organisations in Australia, in my honest opinion. But we also, a part of this meeting, one of the things that we do is also award our honorary life memberships for the year. And we had a few recipients for that, which was very lovely to see.
Of course, we had the long-running breakfast show that's now taken a rest. Andy and Adrian, they got a life membership award.
And we had Jodie Wilmot, and Jodie has done a lot of work on Detours, which is heard on the weekend, and has been a very active nominee by the board running our risk committee, which sounds fairly dry, but internally is very important.
And of course, another recipient was Gary Wilson, who you've just heard do the news here on Joy 94.9, and he also been heavily involved with the station for many years and has a fantastic show on a Tuesday morning, The Extra Value Radio Show, which is
the great value radio show. Yeah, most definitely. I think we need to change our intro. It now needs to be the award-winning news anchor Gary Wilson.
Absolutely, definitely. Absolutely. And the fourth recipient, Matt, was
Gary Singer, who we awarded Gay Icon of the Week last week, and this week he's won honorary life membership.
And who we'll be speaking to probably next week.
Yes, we'll be contacting all of the people who are actually running for Lord Mayor and sending out emails and giving them the opportunity to come on and have a bit of a talk to us about where they're heading in the campaign. So stay tuned for that as well.
Back to the AGM. One of the particularly interesting things that came up is that Joy is debt-free for the first time in a long time. And as a community-based organisation, we had quite a financial decline, as I understand it, going into the global financial crisis. So to have consolidated and put us on a really sure financial footing is certainly a tribute to a really good team of people, I think, inside the organisation.
Most definitely. Leading the finances as we go into this this new era of being debt-free at Joy, the Treasurer, Jed Gilbert, who you may have heard doing QNN, which is on the Community Radio Network as well.
And so certainly the office holders have changed with the retirement. So the new president of Joy is David McCarthy. The vice president is Jed Gilbert, who you just mentioned. The treasurer is Laurie Cato-Smith and the secretary, Greg Atkins. And the rest of us are ordinary council members and chair some various committees and bits and pieces.
I wouldn't say you're ordinary. I say you're extraordinary.
Thank you.
Well, you know, that's a... I suppose an opinion, but anyway. No, we do love you, Jeffrey. Now, the other thing that was actually brought up, and something that Joy is quite proud of, is the amount of OB, so outside broadcasts that we are involved with, and it helps get us out into the community and even more of the community being able to have a voice and be part of Joy 94.9. These were run in various different locations, anything from GLBTI events and areas within the broader community.
Yeah, most definitely. And see, the OBs, I think, are a really important part of Joy 94.9 because our mission as a radio station is to break down those isolation barriers. It's about reaching out and connecting with our own community. And I think those OBs really help because it goes to the people. They don't have to come and find us. We go and find them.
And certainly we've had a number of them. We've done an AFL 3AW. We've been to Midsummer, Pride March. We did the broadcast from Mardi Gras. So we're out and all over the place. But some of them I think we need to be most proud of internally are where we went out to the non-GLBTI community and the 3AW broadcast that was done at Fed Square and the AFL outside broadcast in particular come to mind because I think reaching out to try and put a barrier up to homophobia is a really important thing that we can contribute toward.
Absolutely. Now, one of the other wonderful things that happens at the AGM is the presentation of the Adam Stobbs Award. Adam Stobbs, for those who don't know, is a long-time, very exceptional volunteer at Joy 94.9 and was a great contributor to the station. Unfortunately, within the last couple of years, we lost him and there's been this amazing award in his name. Now, this goes to broadcasters. And this year, it was really lovely to see the team of Different Strokes, which you can find on Joy 94.9 on a Thursday morning. They're the breakfast show, David and Jade. Mm-hmm. And for many years, they actually did a program at this time of night.
Most definitely. Just to jog your memory, past winners of this award, the Two Fat Lattes, they won the inaugural award.
And Breakfast last year.
Exactly. And this year, of course, it is Different Strokes.
So great congratulations to them. They are a wonderful team. And like I said, for many years they did a Thursday night program and basically the basis is the camp and the geek collide and a fantastic team and they have an amazing show.
It is. And so the other things that happened at the AGM other than the routine presenting of reports from all of the office holders and the general manager was some issues of discussion around the future of the organisation and how we structure some of the reviews and put some people on committees and do a bit of recruitment. So I think there's some really exciting times to come, but that's probably me just a bit excited about my new role.
And as a message to listeners out there, and if you are a Joy member, you are more than welcome and you're actually encouraged to come along to the annual general meeting. It's a really interesting thing to see. I know this was my first AGM at Joy. It's a really interesting thing to see how the stations run, and I definitely recommend you go along. You are listening to Gay News Week right here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
With the events that has gone on in Victoria in the last couple of weeks, we have found social media is in pretty much in the brink of this massive explosion. We've seen social media be part of our everyday lives, and with the unfortunate circumstances of one young lady in Victoria recently, the social media explosion has been absolutely amazing. Late last week, the Victoria Police issued a statement reminding us all that while it is all good and well for people to make comments on things, any crime that is committed and someone is now in the process of being charged of that crime and it will go to court, we have to be very conscious of information we release on social media.
Mm. And I think with the age of social media and giving people a voice, all of a sudden they have access to the public domain, basically, and some people need to be very mindful of, especially the posts that they put on social media, like Facebook and Twitter, that just to be very careful that they're not breaking contempt of court rules.
And it is a brave new world because suddenly anyone can be a publisher. Mm. In a domain that was once left to people that were running TV stations and running newspapers
and radio stations
that had training and had legal commitments that they had to abide to, now anyone can put anything out there in the media and across the world in no time at all. And you can get a petition up, you can get a lot of people to see something. So you really are at risk of being able to influence a court case or make sure everyone knows the details and therefore interferes with a jury selection because they all know the details. So it really is important that we follow the police's advice on this.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we have to actually look at in today's day and age, and we are within the technology social media age. You think back to times where, you know, Jeffrey and I would remember, and unfortunately Matt wouldn't, the Azaria Chamberlain. It was one of the biggest cases at the times in the 80s. The courts had a very, very hard time in jury selection because it was so widely publicised. The issues that we have now with cases that even aren't as widely publicised is with the technology that we have available with the social mediums is people start tweeting, people start Facebooking this information and it's out in the global community very, very, very quickly.
Mm. And as I said before, it is really important. I wonder, how are we going to make sure people are aware of this? Do you think it's a school thing? Maybe like with the kind of the new age with the internet and moving forward and basically self-publishing, do you think schools the answers to kind of start from the very start and be teaching these kind of legal problems?
I think that's one place, but I think there are a lot of people that are already outside the school system, and certainly a couple of things I saw early on social media were from people that were outside that group. So I think that may be an area where talking about those sorts of issues might be useful, but I think it's a lot more broad than that. And I think it's an interesting take on this for me is that the police utilise social media and contacting people and those streams of collecting evidence during that investigative phase of a crime, but then suddenly they want everyone to go silent on media because it might jeopardise the court case that's subsequent to that. So moving from one stage where they want as much content as possible to none at all, I think it's going to be a bit of a stretch for the population and for people that are users of social media.
I think the other issue that we are having to deal with is as this social media explosion continues, and it's actually not going to get any less. You know, we're moving into an age where it is part of our everyday life. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether the judicial system is up to the recognising of that. Like I said, years ago when you have a case, and unless it was a nationally or internationally publicised case, the average person wouldn't be informed about it.
Mm, I think that's a really good point that I haven't thought about before, is that instead of people being kind of conforming to the law needs to make sure that it keeps up with society and the changes there.
And can you realistically hold someone to account for that high level that you were once able to apply to professional broadcast organisations to an individual? You can't necessarily expect them to know or comply with that same standard, I wouldn't think. And with the amount of it out there, you're not going to be able to police the volume of information that's going out.
Mm. But I think that's the thing. It's people need to start protecting themselves by having this knowledge under their belt, that knowing that, oh, this is what I can tweet, this is what I can't tweet.
I think it's hard, as Jeffrey said, you know, the police are asking people for help in solving different issues through social media. And then once we come to that conclusion that, yes, the police need to move forward on that through the judicial system, that it becomes then very hard. Now, speaking on social media, speaking to Greg Atkins today, who's the Executive Director of the Anti-Violence Project.
Also and, a presenter on Detours.
Yes, and also part of the Victoria Police Community Hour in here on Joy 94.9.
And Joy Board. Geez, where does his talents end?
I don't know. He's no wonder he's got a shiny scalp because he's got so many hats he's taking off and on. We do love Greg.
We do.
Now, they were talking about this earlier today, about this website which actually monitors Twitter feeds worldwide. Now, part of the Twitter feeds and what it's actually doing, it's talking about homophobic language which is being used on Twitter. Now, this is in a worldwide thing. Now, we're actually currently looking at the website, and I'm going to give a warning. If you're offended by these words, we apologise, but it is in context of the story. So there are four statements that are actually used on this website that are being tracked. It is the word faggot, no homo, so gay, and dyke. Now, Jeffrey, today alone,
there has been just under 30,000 uses of the word faggot on Twitter. Nearly 14,000 for the phrase no homo.
Which I think, going with no homo, it's an expression really among kind of young people that I've heard a lot. It's kind of an expression, if you haven't heard of it before, say if you say something that may leave you open to your mates calling you a bit of a wimp, you can kind of add that into your sentence and it somehow makes you a tougher man. I don't really understand the whole concept, but yeah, that's what that kind of goes around, and it's just to reaffirm that someone isn't interested in the same sex. I don't understand how that works. Yep. But anyway, go on.
And 10,000 for so gay and just under 4,000 for dyke. Interestingly, dyke is used, when you look at any of the statistics, about a ninth of the time of the word faggot. And I don't know whether it's because women are viewed differently or whether the word is less offensive and therefore it's used less. I don't know.
Now, this is actually following feeds on Twitter, and you can actually have a look on it for today, this week, and our all time. Now, their figures of all time relates from July 5th of this year up until yesterday. And the word faggot has been used just under 2,700,000 times.
Yep.
On Twitter.
What's
since
that?
Since the 1st of July.
Just under 6 months, kind of.
Three months.
Less than 3 months, wow. Wow.
Yeah, and it's much lower than that for the word dyke, just to pick one of them, at 370,000. Although, an interesting thing on the graph, and I know we're not a visual medium, so I won't talk about it too much, is that on August 13, there was a spike in the word dyke, and I was just intrigued by that. So it went up from an average number of about 3,000 to 4,000 up to about 20,000. So I want someone to send us a message and let us know what was happening on August 12, 13 that included the word dyke and caused it to spike.
Well, you know, you could also think that, you know, that would be possibly a word that could be used to describe a water source in Icelandic country.
Not with a Y.
Well, you just don't know how people spell things.
There are a lot of people on social media that spelling isn't their forte. That's
the interesting thing that I find in this, you know, we're talking about living in a medium where social media is part of our everyday lives, you know, that homophobic language now has got to the point where, to a lot of people in the broader community, it's words that they just throw around as part of everyday life and not realising the context of it ongoing.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest examples of that is the expression so gay. It's just in pop culture, basically, and you hear it every day. Oh, something that isn't that great all of a sudden becomes so gay.
And it's certainly been described that we've become desensitised to these sorts of words, and they've become part of the normal lexicon, the normal language of people, particularly in youth culture. But it's certainly very common in the social media, in the texts and in the Facebook status updates, although the information from Facebook is not readily available to the same level that the information on Twitter is. And one of the reasons for that is that it's a nearly totally word-based medium, as opposed to Facebook, which has video and photos to a much greater degree. And so if you were going to find out the homophobic content, you're going to have to look at a whole heap of pictures and movies And that's harder to come up with as a number.
I think the other thing that we can also look at is the way that the Facebook is actually set up. It's quite easy to report comments and report things that are actually said and posted on Facebook, and quite easy to get them off. Now, I would think also too is the next step for us, as not only as a community but a broader community, is empowering these words to the point where it is not okay to for people to use them. You know, as they did with the N-word in America, mm-hmm. where you occasionally hear people within the African-American community joking and using it amongst themselves, but in the broader community is never cool under any circumstance.
Mm, most definitely. I saw a comment in a same article today that it said it's never fair for someone to make to use these kind of words if they're not part of that kind of culture themselves, which I think is a really fair point.
And part of what that means to me is that if we take the word faggot, that it is a word that in some circumstances some groups of gay men will use between one another, and they'll use it in an endearing way or a friendship way, but they have exclusive ownership over that language. Whereas if you're outside the group, it's a word that would be not allowed to you in a fair world.
I do find that, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of lesbians in the community that find the word dyke offensive. Myself, I actually identify as a dyke. Mm. So it is one of those words that can be quite controversial at times, and some lesbians will find offensive and some won't.
It is definitely how you use it. And sticking with the trend of social media, I'm interested to hear from you. How do you deal with this kind of language on social media? Obviously, Facebook and Twitter, they have report functions where you can report kind of unsavoury content on their websites. But say on Facebook, if you see a friend of yours using words like this, how do you react? Do you comment on the status and say, hey, that's not on, that's not really fair? Or do you just sweep it under the carpet and just ignore it? I want to hear what you have to say. 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au. And before we go, we need to obviously acknowledge antiviolence.info. That's where we came across this website. Greg is part of Anti-Violence Project, and their website is antiviolence.info. So go there for more information on that. You are on Gay News Week right here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
A new comedy is set to open at the Sydney Opera House, and it's under fire from trans people who view the word tranny as just as offensive as the word faggot or the N-word. It's starring popular drag queen singer Trevor Ashley. Tranny is an adults-only take on the adventures of a ginger kid, Annie. And in the show, the main protagonist is looking for gender reassignment surgery. So what do we think about the word?
I am going along with, words being used and offensive. I think the one thing that strikes me as this is, within our community, the trans community has always been, we talk about our community as a whole is a minority community to the broader community. The trans community within our community is a minority. They have suffered a lot of transphobia, and I feel sometimes within our community as much as within the broader community. And you know, personally, I'm just a little bit offended by it.
I'm in complete in agreement with you, Sammy. I think the word is appalling. I really just don't like it because it has such negative connotations and it has been used so negatively within the community. It's not really a word that's been embraced by that section of our community. And yeah, it's been used to bully those trans people.
And Sydney Opera House and Trevor Ashley have issued an apology, but are saying that they are apologising to people that are offended by the title of the play. But have sort of backtracked from that apology a little bit and saying, although I appreciate that the word may brush some transgendered people up the wrong way, the intent is not to harm. I don't think you get to do that. I don't think you get to apologise, then continue to use the word and say that that's an apology that's done in all genuineness. You either apologise and are sorry and change, or there's some questioning about whether it was a full and complete apology.
An interview taken off of Same Same from members of the trans community, one of them was quoted as saying, the reality is that surgeries for trans people are often out of reach. The reality is that trans people all around the world are beaten, harassed and murdered every day. The reality is that trans people are excluded from anti-discrimination laws in a lot of countries and forgotten in the gay marriage frenzy. So the reality is within our community that this is something that is a very, very contentious issue. And I'm sort of, you know, sitting there thinking to myself, there were so many other words and other ways that he can actually use. The whole meaning for this play is basically about, it follows the hard knock life of a 10-year-old orphan, Fanny, which I think, you know, may have been a better name for the play, who is desperate to have an long overdue gender reassignment surgery but must first escape the orphanage and clutches of a boozy matron and registered sex offender. So he's touching a lot of bases there.
He really is. And I think one of the comments that I've read in the literature, which says, it is not okay for a gay drag queen to mock the lived experience of a community he is not a part of. And that had resonance for me, because you don't get to decide what someone else finds offensive. If they find it offensive, they find it offensive. And so you need to respond to that. And I think that's where Trevor has and the Opera House have slightly missed the mark in what they've responded.
And of course, they were asked for comment, and they've acknowledged that the title is offensive, but they haven't really done anything about that apology, because they say the show is going to go on.
The one thing that I find is part of their explanation is they said that the troublesome T word is becoming increasingly controversial as more transgender Australian voice their concerns this, which is very true. The other thing, it was incredibly interesting to note that currently at the moment in Sydney, there are two bars that actually promote tranny bingo each week.
Yeah, and that's interesting that obviously the word can be used, and it looks, at least from the posters, and I'm not that familiar with the Sydney drag scene, that it looks like they're drag queens that are using that title. And I certainly haven't seen that level of commentary around objecting to those particular events, which you thought it might have been in some of the gay press if the same level of indignation was out there.
Which is it's actually a really valid problem within our society, that a lot of people misinterpret, say, a drag queen for someone who is trans, or the other way around. And that's part of the problem when it comes to the word tranny, is it's still got really negative connotations because of A, misunderstanding, or B, intentional discrimination against people who are trans.
The reality that we have to look at is within the trans community is 1 in 3 trans people are faced with a decision about their life, and it's a very sad state, and this is something that needs to be taken very, very seriously and not be laughed off as, you know, it's a satirical comedy play. Yes, he's a brilliant artist. We're not discounting that. Mm-hmm. And he's a very funny man.
Certainly, I've had the fortunate opportunity to have met with Trevor on a couple of occasions here at the studio when he's come in to promote other programs. And I'm surprised at this, because he's a very genuine, affable man who I enjoyed spending the time with and chatting on a couple of occasions. And, yeah, I'm surprised that this has got to this level with him.
Mm. As far as I'm aware on this whole issue is, the content of the show, I don't think, is the problem here. I think it's the title. Am I right in saying that, in your opinion?
I think because it's a show that hasn't actually gone to the stage yet, and it's not planned to open until December, we can't actually know whether the content has the same level of information that people will object to. So until it actually opens, we won't know that. But certainly the name is what we have to object to now, and honestly, that's enough.
But I think from what I understand with the synopsis is, the issues of gender reassignment surgery isn't really an off-topic thing that nobody can ever talk about because it may be deemed offensive. I don't think that's the case, because I think it's important to bring these issues to light and put it into the public domain that, hey, this is a part of life.
And it could well be handled quite well. It could end up being quite a positive spin on a topic about opening people's eyes to the lives of someone who is transsexual or transgendered or whatever. And so I think that's really important to maybe get out there.
Definitely. Well, obviously, the show hasn't gone on yet, so I think this is definitely something we're going to keep on our radar, because there could be a few more developments. I don't think we should write it off from the start from such little information. So we're definitely going to keep an eye on this, and we'll keep you informed. You are listening to Gay Newsweek right here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
We've had a message in, Matt.
Yes, we certainly have. Sarah from Noble Park has given us a call on 1300-JOY-949 and she agrees the term tranny is offensive. And thank you for your feedback, definitely.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Now, another thing that we also discovered when we were gathering information for that tranny article was part of that information was taken off Same, which is a GLBTI information website. They do a weekly newsletter. They have a lot of great information on it. Now, one thing very interesting that we discovered, to actually make a comment on an article that's on there, you have to register.
Mm-hmm. It's fairly valid. And I think a lot of it is just trying to wipe out the kind of the hateful comments. So people can't be anonymous.
Yeah. So part of the registration process that we found a little bit surprising for members of the GLBTI community was
that you have to identify your gender on the site. So you have to identify as being male or female. Male or select that you don't want to put it down. So if you're a proud member of the community and are trans or intersex, you can't identify that as your preference. And for a GLBTI website community system to have that is curious, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And see, the way I see it is same is kind of directed towards a gay and lesbian kind of, mostly gay men, but yes. Also they cover a little bit of lesbian issues as well. I don't think it's enough these days to just say that we cover issues for gay and lesbian people. I think it's really important to cover the whole spectrum, the whole umbrella, GLBTIQ, and that's what I think. There's a lot of organisations that specialise in gay and lesbian issues that need to take the step up and say, we cover all people and we're advocates for them.
And you really do get judged by the detail. When you haven't, when you're saying that you're part of the community and part of the wider community, and then your registration process doesn't allow for that, you wonder whether you're actually living what it is you say you're talking about.
Mm. I think the important thing that we're asking is for organisations within that say you're part of the GLBTI community, make sure you're being inclusive of all members of our community.
Certainly.
Now, Jeffrey, we've had speaking of members of our community, we're going to do a little bit of a roundup of what's happening around Australia and a few things around the world.
We are. The first thing we're chatting about is that gay marriage campaigner, so the head of Australian Marriage Equality, Alex Greenwich, will stand for the New South Wales seat of Sydney after he was endorsed by outgoing independent MP Clover Moore. Now, Clover, as you would be aware, has been elected as the Lord Mayor of Sydney, and so she's handing over the reins for her seat. And interestingly, as a bit of a backstory to that, during the election or just prior to, the New South Wales government passed a piece of legislation which was cheekily titled the Get Clover legislation, which made it illegal for her to hold the seats as both Lord Mayor and in the New South Wales Parliament.
I think the Alex is doing a great job on the campaign trail. We've seen a lot of information out there about him being out and visiting members of his electorate. Now, his main opposition is that he's actually facing in this is a former Sydney councillor, Shane Mallard. Now, he's standing as a Liberal seat and he's also a member of the GLBTI community. And they are, at the moment, equal at 31% each.
31%, though, is pretty low, given that that leaves you with 38% that's not accounted for. So this election is wide open. It could go either way in a pretty significant direction. So I don't know from a community point of view much about the alternate candidate, but, you know, it looks like there's going to be a gay man as the Lord Mayor of Sydney.
Very interesting. And, of course, Sydney, it's a fairly big gay capital of Australia. A lot of gay people up there. There's a certain big area there. While we're staying interstate, I want to touch on Queensland. There's been... we've covered the issue before on... There was an ad campaign that was... It was about ending HIV and basically awareness of the issues around it. But there was one thing that was fairly confronting within this ad campaign, and it was the image of the Grim Reaper.
Now, this campaign was actually initiated and run by Queensland Health, and originally we had such great outcry. Spokesperson for the Health Minister has confirmed the change, claiming the website has been redesigned.
And it's been redesigned so that it actually does no longer have pictures of the Grim Reaper. Of particular interest is that one of the leading advocates that was previously on their advisory council on HIV resigned because the pictures of the Grim Reaper remained. and they allowed that resignation to occur, and then they've removed the pictures anyway. And beyond that, they've said that the pictures have gone because of its redesign. So it's a little cute, I think.
Coming back to Sydney for a moment, Beyond Blue have announced that they're going to be an official sponsor of the 2013 Sydney Mardi Gras. So it's going to be fantastic to actually see a national initiative.
Mm. And I think this is a really positive move from Beyond Blue following their $1.5 million national left-handed campaign, which we have covered on the show. If you want to hear more about that, check out our podcast. It's on the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Absolutely. The partnership with Mardi Gras makes a remarkable turnaround for Beyond Blue, who over the past 12 months has moved from being an organisation that copped quite a lot of flack, including here on Joy 94.9, for not being on the side of GLBTIQ mental health, and they've moved to really being advocates and having a great campaign in support of mental health of our community.
Mm, certainly, the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras co-chair said that they are looking forward to working hand in hand with Beyond Blue to spread the message of acceptance and understanding. Hear, hear.
I want to see the float.
Could be interesting.
Coming back to Melbourne, Melbourne's Collins Street Baptist Church, Reverend Caroline Francis, has begun an online petition in August, which is collecting signatures to call on Prime Minister Julie Gillard to meet with pro-gay marriage Christians to counter the Australian Christian lobby's influence in Canberra.
She's got about 16,000 signatures so far, and the signatures are still being collected. And one of the really significant things about that number is that it's 1,000 more than the membership of the Australian Christian Lobby. So they've demonstrated that they're actually able to get more signatures than the members of that organisation. The particular point around the Christian lobby is that they say that they represent all Christian groups and a wide selection of the church, which I think this particular Baptist minister has proven not to necessarily be the case.
Yeah, definitely. Christians within our media, so I'm talking about gay press, they often get a bit of a bad rap, especially with organisations like the Australian Christian Lobby, who claim to represent all Christians. And I think that is, first of all, wrong that all Christians are being lumped in with the ACL, but it's also really good to see that that there are Christians that are standing up and saying, hey, they don't reflect it, they don't reflect our views. We're sane people.
Yeah, so I think that's a great story, and it's great to see that some of the Christian leadership are coming out in favour of equal marriage and are also making inroads into saying these people with the ACL and similar groups don't speak for us.
Speaking of people that are standing up for members of our community, going overseas for a moment, and I was very pleased but upset to hear about a straight man who's been attacked in the UK during a post-Pride party. He was unfortunately attacked for standing up against people who were making very homophobic remarks outside a party.
So this is a gentleman who's not a gay man. He was at a gay Pride event in the UK, and he suffered significant injury while standing up for people that were at that event. Kudos to him. He obviously strongly feels that gays should be allowed to be and believes in supporting his friends, who you would have to presume he was there with.
Hmm. It's really positive to see that there are members of the straight community out there standing up for us, and I think they should be commended, and because it shows they have a brain. Once again, I'm going to go back to this one, they have a brain.
Jeffrey, moving to Canada now, what are the pollies up to over there?
Well, interestingly, the Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister has outlined an aggressive agenda to stand up to the violent mobs who come up with policies and agendas against gay people. So the leadership in Canada, and it's a Conservative government, have decided to start an agenda of supporting their gay community.
Hmm. I think part of this also too is the immigration minister has also said that they're going to have Canada as a haven for gay refugees from Iran, and they're currently working with queer refugees to fast track 100 gay Iranians into Canada.
Hmm, very interesting points. You are listening to Gay Newsweek right here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
We've had a few last minute messages in, one from DJ sweet baby Jay, who, hello, is this thing on? Loving the show, guys. Missing you. And also Grant from Gordon says hi.
Thank you very much.
And this has been Gay News Week, but unfortunately that is all we have time for. We've covered a lot tonight, and a big thank you to everyone who joined in on the conversation tonight. And we're going to thank our technical producer, as we always do, Matt Nock, who's pushed our buttons for us excellently again tonight.
Certainly does a bang-up job of it. If at any time throughout the week you wish to get in contact with us, or suggest topics for that matter, send us an email, gaynewsweek@joy.org.au, or head to joy.org.au to find all the links to our social media profiles. Also, feel free to suggest topics if you want to hear about what you want to hear about on the show. Tweet us at gaynewsweekjoy or on our Facebook page.
Look out for the show podcast, which we should be up in the next few days. But until next week, we are Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt, and this has been Gay News Week. And you can catch us here at 7 p.m. every Wednesday night on Joy 94.9. Thank you so much for all of your interaction that we've had with you tonight. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, go to the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week. And that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News on Joy 94.9. Now there's something for you to muse. That rhymes.
You've been listening to Gay News Week. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links on how you can keep up to date with the team on social media. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday from 7 p.m. right here on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.